on a no-fly list.
As far as the no-fly list,
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, musicians, and other cool and interesting people of color. I'm Athir.
I'm Amama. And this week we had comedian, DJ, and one of our incredibly good friends, Andrew McGill.
Yay! Oh my gosh. You could tell that we were all just having a good time in this episode.
This is such a fun, goofy episode.
This is ridiculous from the start. You guys combining your forces as teachers to create some sort of comedy school sweatshop situation.
Which we were joking, especially if you're listening and if you work at the DOE.
or CPS or anywhere. Yep. Please don't come after us.
Yeah, but we were just like talking about how like useful it would have been to have some of our kids write our jokes for us. Like, why not?
Especially during this time, you know?
Yeah, we have so much going on. Like, kids, like if I'm going to teach you about marine bio, you're going to have to like tell me a joke.
You're going to have to know the rule of threes, okay?
Yeah, but Andrew's so talented. He's such a funny comedian and he's such a talented DJ. We actually went to the same middle school and we grew up in the same town, which we found out when we started a show together. Like, it was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like,
that's so cool.
Years later, I was like, oh, okay, like, we have a lot in common.
So, you're both native New Yorkers. And what's funny about Andrew, which you're talking about, is that he has so many like brown friends and knows so many like Arabic words.
He does. And, like, he told us about his friend who's going through a hard time, but he was like talking about stuff in Arabic. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's like embedded in the brown.
Yeah, I'm like,
community.
How do you know this? Like, if he were white, I would be like CIA for sure.
I'd be so suspicious. Yeah. CIA or you a fetish.
Right. Either way, it's not good. It's not looking good at all.
We also talked about one. We had a really good question this week about wanting to be in a relationship when someone else might not want to be in one and like learning when to let go. So that was really helpful.
I feel like that's something that people are especially going through now because the pandemic has made everyone kind of question like really what they want on a deeper level.
Absolutely.
And so I feel like a lot of relationships recently have sort of come to an end or, you know.
Like a lot of my friends that I've like talked to, it's like their relationships might be coming to an end. If you're my friend and you're listening, I'm not talking about you. or like they're with people who are like, everyone's like, oh no, like you're nice to me and I want more of this. And it's becoming like a lot for them because they're like, wait, I just want to like keep exploring. So everyone's a little weird. So like I told my friend this morning, just be gentle and just remember that there's times where you've done the same thing. And I know that it, like you're feeling the brunt of it now where you're like, why are all these girls acting this way? But it's like, because like everyone's been starved for affection. And when you're very emotionally available and giving it, it's hard to not feel a certain way.
And honestly, you should hold people to a higher standard. If you are an emotionally available person and have done the work on yourself, then you deserve someone, of equal or greater value.
Oh, absolutely. Every time someone's like, oh, like you should be with so-and-so. And I'm like, no, that person has done the work. I was like, I am very closed off. I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah. Andrew's a good dude though, ladies.
Oh, Andrew is actually probably a top dude. Like he's such a, like I've seen women flock to Andrew and it's just hilarious because I'm just like, we'll be hanging out and there'll just be a lot of girls who are like, oh my God, hi. I'm like, hell yeah, good for Andrew. It's awesome.
But he also has standards, which I respect. And he actually holds himself accountable to them because it's easy to say, oh, I'm never going to do this. I'm not going to do that. But then, you know, we all know that can go out the window.
With like Andrew, some of the other boys in that group that I hang out with, they surprisingly have better standards than I do. They actually, to be honest, they often are like, Mama, who are you with? What is going on with you?
Okay, if the male comics are saying that,
I tend to attract male comic friends who have their shit together and they're always, they say things like, I'm really concerned about you. And I think it's funny because I think I'm beating all the stereotypes right now.
Yeah, you're being the dude, basically.
Yeah, basically. I'm like, oh, thank you guys. Stop.
Not to place people in gender roles.
No, no.
I don't know why I said it like that, but you know. So before we get to Andrew's episode, let's get to our first segment, the No Fly List. And this is a segment where we talk about people who we think should be on the no-fly list instead of innocent and brown folks like ourselves. You know, it's kind of our shit list. So, Amama, who do we have this week?
This week, we have people who are clingy, which is kind of the theme. This is a good, like, segue into saying that, like, if you don't have your shit together. But
that's yeah, true.
People, yeah. It doesn't have to be a relationship.
You know who you are. Yeah. You're probably listening. We appreciate the listenership, just boundaries.
Yeah, be clingy with us, but like only on, like not
only
like,
through social
yeah,
media.
Not, yeah, not like specifically with us. But yeah, people like friendships, relationships, even work front. Like, I am, someone told me that because I'm a double Aquarius, I have a very strong sense of self. I just get really anxious if someone is like super clingy, which is why I think I can't be in a relationship.
Yeah, but I think a relationship should make you feel like you have freedom and it's not true. Feel like you're suffocating. If you're feeling that way, either you need to maybe revise your view of relationships, or maybe you're in a suffocating one.
I was going to say, yeah, most likely it's probably that. But yeah, don't be clingy. Just like, and sometimes it's okay when you're like, oh, I'm in a new place or a party and I need to be around this friend. Fine. But then make other friends so that way your friend can take a breath.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We've all had to like babysit people like parties and it can be kind of exhausting after a while.
It's nice when I have friends visit New York who I take out and they just make their own friends. And I'm like, good job. We did.
Yeah. And I'm totally like, it's hard for me. Like, if it weren't for you walking up to random people and talking to them, I would not be talking to new people. But then I have like my group of people that I feel comfortable with, and I kind of bounce around between different people.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then you want to go, because as comics, we were all like socially anxious and awkward in a lot of ways. All the comedy parties are like just all, it feels like high school again or like middle school dance. Yeah.
And just like, even like as the world is opening, it's like normal to feel like socially awkward and as I do all the time. But yeah, just remember everyone's feeling that way and you can just like still expand and do your thing.
Yeah, yeah. And me and Amama are actually getting ready to go tomorrow to Miami on an insanely early flight.
I was going to say, we have to wake up in like 4 hours.
And I was like, oh, we got to record the intro.
Which is good. I'm glad. Yeah, because there's no way that Sunday I was just going to be like, I'm going to
sleep. Yeah, I'm like, after whatever goes down this weekend, which will stay in Miami and Instagram, obviously.
Yes, obviously Instagram. And also if you are part of the Miami Heat and you're listening, I love basketball. I love professional athletes, so you know. I'll be in Miami.
Do you want to give them the address of our Airbnb?
I do, but like just like DM me when you hear this.
Oh, By the time they hear it, we'll be back.
You know, like I know you guys are like really rich and stuff, but like, you know, if you ever need a place to stay in New York, let me know. Hit me up at Amama Sridhar.
Follow me at Ethir Yacoub, not for those reasons. And listen to Andrew.
Yay!
Welcome, Andrew!
Andrew McGill.
Oh, my God.
This is a long time coming.
This is too long overdue.
If you're listening, you obviously follow the, like, Insta. But Andrew was helping us run all of our shows last summer before white people shut it down.
Yeah.
Damn those white people. Always ruining our fun. Except for Johnny. We love you, Johnny.
Yeah, we love you, Johnny.
He was there when the cops came. We were like, we need a white
person. We need a white representative.
And he said, hey, boys.
Yeah. He's like, hey, but is it John? Mike? Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, catch you at the game next week. Yeah. But really, shut this show down.
That's how I imagine all cops talk to white people. They're like, hey.
Hey, man. Johnny boy.
Yeah. Hey, how's your son? It's like, how'd you even know he had a son?
Yeah, they showed. It was fun. I had a great time. It was a blast.
Andrew is obviously an amazing comedian, DJ, awesome friend, like even better friend. I mean, like you're one of my favorite people. And this is just like I don't know, it's such a nice little reunion right now.
You can't see we're holding hands.
We're holding hands. We're holding
hands. We're about to do a seance.
this is exciting because we've wanted you to like be a guest, but now we get to do it in person because over Zoom.
I wouldn't have done it. I've been teaching on Zoom. I'm like, I'm not.
Oh, yeah. How's that? Are you, today was the last day of school.
Today was the last day of school, baby.
You fucking
are you? I had a couple meetings this morning. I'm done.
You're out for the summer.
That's awesome.
Dog, year three over. Shout out to all the teachers if you are listening and a professional or a teacher, educator.
God bless you.
We love you.
I have a training coming up on Monday and the people that work like for me were like, hey, it's our last day of school. Cause I was like, we had to go over this training and like two of them were like, oh shit, it's our last day of school. We're out like drinking. And I was like, nah, you have fun. I'll finish your work.
Yeah, I did. Live your life, baby.
Yeah, but I did. I was like, fuck it. Like they've had a fucking hard year. Like this is my one job. Like let me just fucking do it. Yeah.
Shit was tough. It's like a war. It feels like talking about a war. Where I was like, damn, we was really in it.
Did you went in person too?
Yeah, I had to go in person a couple days.
Did you ever get COVID? I don't remember.
No, never got COVID. Dodged that, my boy. Let's go.
I absolutely still think I did in like February.
Well, you didn't get antibodies, right? So it would have shown up.
Well, some people's didn't show up.
Or I guess like a certain amount of time.
I feel like in the very beginning, everyone thought they had COVID.
That's true.
They
were like, I did too. I thought,
oh my God.
My throat hurts.
There was a bunch of comedians at this joke, but there was one comedian who did it on late night where he was like, someone was like, yeah, like 2017, I felt really sick. I think I had COVID.
That's great.
That's real.
That's great. Oh my God. So I know you guys especially helped me get through, especially our park hangs last summer. You guys helped me get through the pandemic, through life, through my breakup, through everything. And I'm happy to finally have Andrew, but it's been a long journey. We're all vaxxed. We're in person. So it's like nice to see. But yeah, Andrew, like, How did you get started with like music first or with comedy or like how did those two things kind of like meld together for you?
So when I was in high school, I was doing a little stand-up stuff and like going into the city and whatnot. And then...
Because you grew up here, right?
Yeah, Brooklyn, grew up in Brooklyn, right? So, and then when I
What high school did you go to?
Midwood. Okay. Yeah, you don't know. I mean, some people do, but Midwood High School. And then when I graduated, one of my teachers, he... A social studies teacher, but he also like... was doing he taught using his he was a DJ as well, so he like used some of his DJ stuff in a lesson.
Oh my God.
And it was one of the coolest things. He's like teaching us about like history. You see history.
He's like
changes.
Smoking a joint. He's like, hey kids.
But he showed this like beautiful lesson where like history changes. History doesn't change, but he mixed it with the music. And I was like, dang, that's mad cool. And he was like, he would always tell us like, yeah, you know, I run a DJ thing, da da da, like humble brag. You know, that's what I do. I mean, I'm a teacher, but I also do this.
So you basically became this guy.
Yeah, basically. At the end of the year.
And a DJ.
Yes. For at the end of the year, I asked him, I was like, yo, can you teach me? And he's like, nah. Whoa. He's like, nah.
Oh, well, that's,
so you had to learn on your own?
No, I wrote him a letter. I was like, please.
Did he teach you that?
Yeah, and then he taught me.
He probably was like, don't go down this path. He's like, you're going to be a teacher, DJ, and look
a comedian.
You were like, let me add one more layer to this.
Yeah, he's like, don't do it. But yeah, I've been doing it ever since and like DJing stand-up and... It's fun.
And you're also, because Andrew wrote a web series that I read over and I saw, and it was like really fun, but it is about you like being a teacher and doing stand-up, which
very,
is like...
It's very like on the nose. So when I do it, I'm like, everyone's like, yo, is this your real life? I'm like, nah, this is just...
No, but those are the best stories.
Yeah, plus, to be honest, there is a large number of comedians who were teachers...
Yeah.
Who, like, Nora, like, Grant. There's so many
there
of us
a lot,
who were teachers. First, Jared Waters is a teacher. Mm-hmm. Like, Brittany Carney, like, is fucking killing it and, like, is also a teacher. So it's, like, a lot of us started.
We should start our own school.
We should.
Comedy school.
We would be the worst. We'd be hungover all the fucking time. The kids would be like, what's for homework? Or, like, what are we learning today? He's like, I don't know, fucking
like
watch Chappelle's.
We're going to deconstruct my set here, kids. All right.
Everyone
Why
write a show.
Bomb?
It's gonna be a class called Why Did I Bomb? It's just different bombs.
Yeah, honestly, we have the kids
we
write.
We need to teach that class.
We do.
For
yeah, we have the kids write our jokes. Like the most talented writers, we're like it's AP comedy.
Yeah. We'll be like Tyreek, this is not the punchline that I wanted here.
Rule of three, bitch.
How fun
would that be? Like, you, a kid gets like, call, like we call his mom. It's like, look, he's not working hard enough. Like, I bombed last night.
Yeah, bombed last night.
With his material.
And the crowd was drunk. So yeah. I don't know what's wrong with your kid. They were prime for laughter.
He's not working hard enough.
It's like, how am I supposed to get to Comedy Central or HBO if your kid's not writing the material that I need? Yeah.
Blame it on the kids.
Blame it on the kids.
Wait, I think this is a really good idea. And then we comedy can have, school. Yeah, comedy school. We can have like a mental health person there.
That's important.
That's important because like we're going to berate those kids until they break down. Yeah,
yeah. We need a school counselor.
Yeah.
A school psychologist.
I think we should. It sounds like a great idea.
I think we're about to start it.
I think we're on to something.
School of something.
School of something.
Got it. School almost. Almost.
We'll have one of the kids name the school.
Yeah.
That's the first day.
It'll be a contest. Get them really involved.
Yeah. It'll be like their warm up exercise or like their exit ticket.
I feel like that was a movie with Justin. I feel like this was a movie with Justin Long.
Is this a Bad Teachers or what is it called?
Oh, no. Bad Teacher is a great movie.
it's just about Cameron Diaz.
Justin Long had a movie where he creates his own college because he doesn't get into anywhere and he doesn't want to disappoint his parents.
Oh my God.
And everyone who's rejected is allowed. It's actually it was one of those fun 2000 movies that was like, it was like during the time where it was like, Get Him to the Greek, like all those like.
Yes. That was a good time.
I like that. I don't know about you guys, but to be honest, like I've always wanted to write. And so Zuby, who's been a past guest, and I are writing a screenplay together.
Amazing.
And it was just like a drunken idea where I was like, we should steal back things that like we've given to like ex-lovers. Oh. And like, it was like one of those things where it's like, I just want to write a fun, goofy ass movie.
How do you
like
take
that.
Back your heart? Okay.
Oh. We'll figure it out.
That's going to be the last part of
that's
the movie.
That's going to be
it. Yeah. That's there you go.
Yeah, it takes
we're going to have,
did I ruin it?
No, it's okay. Please. When I say Zuby and I are writing it, the students that we know.
We got Tyreek and Tyrell writing this movie.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of things.
We're going to find the next Wayan brothers.
Let's just keep exploiting black people. It's like,
yes.
That's basically what comedy has been, is like the Wayne brothers have like opened up everyone's careers and everyone's like, who's the greatest comedian? Jerry Seinfeld. Which right. Nothing against Jerry Seinfeld.
Nothing against Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, but it's like, come on, the Wayne brothers are
they're pretty dope.
Yeah. Who puts their entire family plus multiple generations after?
That's freaking amazing.
Amazing.
Why is my family not more famous? Why can't anyone pave the road for? But they, you know, they
don't worry,
did the work
after the school.
After the school, we're all gonna be famous.
It's gonna be a sweatshop, but for comedy.
comedy sweatshop.
Name of our school.
Comedy sweatshop, yeah. Hustle hard, grind,
ooh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
yeah,
like
yeah,
taking
yeah.
naps in the back, and the kids are like crying. Like,
should we open it back? I was gonna say, should we like go back to either Pakistan or the Middle East or Palestine and open it there? Just because.
Oh yeah, those kids would work really hard.
Yeah,
yeah, because they would like, we would pick the poorest kids and like promise them like a dream or something.
Honestly, they have the most interesting stories.
They do, yeah.
But they'd have to write in our voices, so it's like, so dating is hard. As a bomb is falling off.
Oh my gosh. That's
They're
so
like,
funny.
Yeah, my life is so hard.
Anyone on Tinder?
The kids are just like, we get lunch after, right? You promised.
Oh no.
One of my best friends is Pakistani, and he told us one story about how his grandfather, when he was a kid, got mauled by a dog.
Got mauled by a dog,
and then he came back to the place where the dog mauled him, and then he just shot the dog.
Yeah. And
that's the end of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a thing that Pakistanis do or brown people do. I feel like...
It's like a dog mauled you. You gotta...
Yeah.
You
know.
But I'm saying, how can we turn that into a bit?
Oh. I don't know. I think with white people, though, like if you talk about like dog stuff...
They get
like,
really...
They get, yeah. Like my dad, when he was in the village, like one time was like... He was like, yeah, like we chased a rabbit and like found it and like... killed it and like that was like food and stuff, but it was like
my aunt in the village had rabbits and would like eat them. Yeah. They would kill them and cook them and eat them.
We have the same family.
Yeah. And my brother would always try to convince me that it was chicken. He was like, just eat this. It's chicken. I was like, no, it's not chicken.
No.
It just don't taste like chicken.
No, but I didn't try it.
Should we
it,
get rabbit I, after?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to get some rabbit. No, get a little rabbit.
Where can you get rabbit?
There's some wet markets around here. We'll talk off the...
Oh, no. For the record, I do not
eat
rabbit.
We're kidding. Yeah, we don't... I stopped eating meat just this week. And
yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's been weird. It's like I do have energy.
Well,
it's
you're
weird.
A hero.
Yeah, before I was like rabbits, and now I'm like.
Were you on a vegan? You're a vegan.
No, I just wanted some more energy as I'm like going through like PT stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so I figured like change my body and stop drinking and stuff.
Let's go.
Yeah,
I like that.
And if my mom's listening, I've never had alcohol in my life.
Yeah, obviously. So what I love about Andrew is that anytime we've made like references to anything like Muslim or Pakistani or Arab, like you already know like so many Arabic words. Like yeah. It sounds like you grew up around a lot of.
You did.
Kutika bacha haramzada.
Yeah. Kutika bacha haramzada.
I don't know what that means.
Pakistan's
son of a
in the
bitch.
Yeah.
Pakistan's in the bad. Yeah. You grew up on Long Island?
No, I grew up in Brooklyn.
Okay,
I lived in Long Island for a little bit.
And we lived in the same town.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we went to the same middle school.
Yeah, we did.
Which we found out.
Through your brother.
It was like, I don't remember exactly the moment, but I think I said something and you were like something about honey. Oh, you're Andrew's cousin, very successful comedian. And I said something like, oh, like her sister went to my high school. And you were like, that's my cousin. Like, what high school?
And then
that's
like, wait, no, what?
And by that point, we had already started running a show together. So this is how little we knew about. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, everyone's like, oh, so you guys grew up together. I'm like, no, we ran a show together. We were just having a conversation and that came up. And I was like, oh, shit.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, did you grow up around a lot of like Arabs, Pakistani, Muslims?
Oh yeah,
like,
a lot of Pakistanis in Huntington.
Yeah, Pakistanis in Huntington, and then my best friend's Egyptian, and I mean a lot of my best friends are like Pakistan, Afghani, from Yemen. Like I got friends, friends all over. Dog.
Friends in brown places.
I got friends in brown places.
Yeah,
very different than my experience growing up in Alabama. That's why I'm so fascinated when you're exposed to so many different cultures and people. I'm like, that must be so cool to like grow up and not feel like you're the only person of that, you know, of any kind of like person of color or any kind of diversity. So it's not like I didn't grow up around a lot of Arabs, definitely not around a lot of other like brown people, Pakistanis or Afghanis or anything. So like, yeah. Believe it or not, Alabama is not as diverse as people think and progressive. Yeah.
The cool thing about Brooklyn the cool thing about New York City, it's like very, there's so much cultures here, but it's also very like segregated. So like you go one block in one place, you'd be like, oh, this is very, you know, Jewish. You go in one place here, you're like, oh, this is very like Eastern Asian. Yep. You go one place here, you're like, oh, this is very black. You go in here, this is super Egyptian or, you know, super Pakistani places. So like, and then going to like a really big high school, like we just had all those cultures mixed together.
We did, yeah.
So we just had to be like,
that's so cool.
But even like, I think it's funny because like my high school was still like pretty white, like Walt Whitman was like pretty white. And like obviously like there were like, people were like racist and shit. But by the time that I had gone, it was so much different than when my cousins like 5 years ago had gone.
Yeah.
Where like now it was all of a sudden cool to be around like black and brown people. And like all the white kids were like, yeah.
Yeah.
We get to say words too. And I was like, no, you do not.
And the reason I have all these different friends is because I joined the lacrosse team in like the 10th grade.
Wow.
And I know you think, oh, lacrosse, very white sport. It is it's probably the whitest sport. It's just catching.
But it's a Native American.
Butterfly nets. I mean, so I joined that and all of my friends were just like people of color.
Damn.
Yeah.
Was the team mostly people of color or was it
like? Yeah, it was probably, I think they were like, maybe a handful of white dudes.
Whoa, you like took back the sport.
We took back the sport.
Yeah. Did you guys win a lot?
We did. They did win a lot. I'm not going to contribute. I didn't contribute to the win at all. I was just there, just hanging out, having a ball.
You're like defying the stereotype. Like, I'm not going to play basketball. I'm going
to
play lacrosse.
I wanted to play basketball. I wasn't tall. I wasn't as tall as I was in high school. I was chubby.
Wait, what? Andrew was 6'5".
Yeah, I had a growth spurt in like the middle of like, the 11th grade.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, that's how tall were you before that?
I was probably like maybe like 5'10", 5'11", 6 foot maybe. But I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't grow into these shoulders, you know.
Okay,
back
okay,
then.
Okay.
Wait, how tall are you now?
6'5".
Holy shit.
That's wild. Imagine like every like 10 years you just keep growing.
That would be horrible. Oh my God.
You like eventually break. Like you fall over.
I would hate if I was 35 and I was like 7 foot. I'd be like, this is a waste. Where was this when I was freaking 16?
Oh, wait, that's so crazy. I just assumed because you're like 6'5". I was like, oh, you play basketball.
Yeah. I mean, I did play a little, but I started. Yeah. It was.
Also, when you said growth spurt, I just assumed that you were going to say like, yeah, I was 5'7". And then
yeah, that's what I thought. No.
Andrew comes in, everyone's like, who is that?
No, I was still tall, but I wasn't as tall.
That's why he's wearing his name on his shirt, because he's like, you.
Oh my God, you
are.
I want people to know.
Wow. Just same Andrew.
Yeah. Also, different height. You're wearing all black, and the lettering on that is like really faint.
Yeah.
So like, it's
very faded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wore the shirt a lot.
Oh, well, good for you.
Thanks for the judgment.
Yeah, well, you know,
the listeners didn't need to know that Andrew, well, it means you wash your shirt a lot, I guess.
Yeah. I'm a very clean boy.
You are a clean boy. You're ladies. Honestly, Andrew, yeah, the nicest.
A lot of boy. Ladies, last summer when you were DJing, some people would be like, who's the DJ? And I was like, white ladies. He's available.
Oh yeah, that's like
that's what you
that's
tell
like your jam.
That's how you'd market me.
Yeah, that, absolutely.
That's your type. And I base this off of like one person I've seen him with.
Well,
but also
hold
you.
On. Can I tell this story? We can.
What's the story?
We were at Two Saints and.
Oh, this was a good.
Yeah, we were watching. No, we were watching. What was the Philly Hawks game?
Hawks game, yeah.
Like game seven, and at some point, two ladies were at the bar. And just Andrew just made a beeline, and all like Nicole and everyone else, they were like, "Yep."
No,
and you walked away.
All right, I got to clear the air. I just went over there and I was like ordering a drink, and then they just like start talking to me about just start bombarding me with questions.
Like what?
I don't even remember. They were like, it was like a riddle, so I had to think. for a little while. And I was just like, what?
Answer these three questions.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what's the... And I was just like thinking for a while. And then they just sucked me into this conversation.
Well,
I did.
Did you get their number? Or one or both?
Both. Look at that.
How did you maneuver that?
Honestly, dogs.
Andrew's got moves. Andrew comes off like he's like kind of like more reserved.
You just have have confidence, and it's just like it's good. Like people are like drawn to that.
Yeah, you just you move a little.
Yeah,
you just don't like come off as like a cocky, douchey asshole, which is great.
Yeah,
and you have the confidence without the douchiness.
Yeah, honestly, if you're not a douche, you can go pretty far.
You can go.
The bar is so low.
The bar is so low.
But you're not a douche, and you're tall. Like
and
that
you're tall.
Combination for women,
you're
holy
nice.
Shit!
Yeah, they're like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
he's not a douche.
Yeah, anytime I see a tall dude who's nice, I'm like, that's it.
Tall, non-douche. Those are my only two criteria in my dating.
Yeah. Well, you're also tall. Everyone like bothers me for like wanting someone who's tall. I'm like, I want what I want.
It's funny because I feel like taller girls end up with the shortest men. Like, I've never dated someone over 5'10", like, until recently, probably.
I've only been with dudes who are, like, 6'8".
Or 5'8".
Or, like, 6'.
I always end up, like, 5'6 to 5'8".
That's so wild.
I'm like, I'm 5'8". Like, and I'm like, it's hard to find someone just taller than me. That's not that tall to find someone over 5'8". Anyway, that said, I don't discriminate. But now I think I should.
I think you should. Also, it's so wild to me because like the shortest guy I've been with was like 5'11", maybe. And everyone else has just been above 6". Like long-term relationships, they're like all been like much taller. And I think it's just because I'm weird and I'm like, I want a basketball player.
You said to the top. Yeah. I said, I want that guy right there.
Yeah, I'm like, hey.
I need to do that, yeah.
Even like when I like, it's like guys have to like look up and it's, I like it.
I mean, I like it too if I can find it.
I think
you know,
if I could find it and I'm like five.
Sometimes I think like tall guys can also be attracted to like
tiny
petite women. I don't know. Do you want to weigh in on this height
dilemma? I don't know if I have a preference. I mean, I dated a girl who was just as tall as me.
Yeah.
But. Whoa. People would be like, oh, y'all playing basketball together.
They're like, loving basketball. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, we're just.
Everyone's such a hack. Yeah, that's like the only joke.
Oh, please. There was one girl that you brought around. And I was like, she's tall. Does she play basketball?
Yeah,
and she did.
You're like, oh, you guys. Yeah. I'm like, she actually does.
Yeah.
We do play on a team.
I think it just depends. I think it depends. I've been with people who are like little.
Yeah.
Like tiny. That sounds weird. But like people who are just like like a tiny person.
Yes, yeah, like 4'11".
Wait,
yeah.
I've seen what? You with a petite Asian woman. So like
that's so wild though, because it's like Shaq and like his like, or maybe now his wife, but like she was like 5'1" and he's like 7 foot.
Yeah, I can't even.
That's like wild. That's weird.
That doesn't even know. He's seven feet tall.
Yeah, he's.
Maybe on some subconscious level, though, I'm like, if I'm with a shorter dude, I know I can take him.
That actually, to be honest.
For your survival. You're like, if this man. Are you looking up Shaq's height? Oh.
No. I was like, because I had a similar, recently, I think I told you guys, like, I went on a date with someone and he was like tall and like really big. But there was a moment where I was like, he can attack me. And that was like the first time where I was like, maybe I don't want someone who's like that jacked and like that.
Yeah. I actually he was went being on a date little with someone weird, that was 6'5". Like, yeah. And and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to be able to fight you.
Yeah, it's like,
or you need to be a gentle giant.
Yeah, which I think like the guys that like I've been attracting so far just like aren't. So he was like really aggressive, and I was like, I actually don't want to be near like your home because like you have the advantage, and I don't have a weapon on me. Ladies, carry a weapon on you.
Oh my gosh!
I can. Next episode, Athira and I will go through all the weapons.
Oh my god!
I'm kidding.
But, I've been watching a lot of Lifetime, folks. So this is, triggering me right now.
Well, so we actually have a segment called 50 Shades of Brown where you get to answer a question from one of our listeners.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
You always give me good advice.
Yeah. This is,
and so
I hope.
Let's see.
So the question this week is, I'm a 28-year-old man and in a situationship with a woman who's 30. We've been doing all the things couples do, but she says she doesn't want to be in a relationship right now and likes things the way they are. Should I ride it out and see if she changes her mind or take a step back from the relationship?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That is very common.
Yeah.
You know what's tough about that one is because I'm like, is this me?
Did
I send this shit? When did I write this fucking...
We read your diary.
Yeah. We actually went through your phone.
Yeah.
Did you look into my notes? I feel like, it's a tough one because you can tell this guy wants something more than what he has right now. Because it's like, what's wrong with, he said we do all the stuff relationships do. Mm-hmm. But what's wrong with like... This
making that commitment. We're in a relationship. But some people get really freaked out by the title.
It's true.
The commitment of it.
And if you date someone who's a little 30 something,
I
feel like, they've already probably seen the dating pool is
And also like I also imagine, and maybe this is a stereotype, so like you can like say like, no, this doesn't make sense. But I think like as I'm getting older and I'm like 31. If I really don't want a relationship with someone, it's because I kind of know that, like, they're not going to be the person. And I do want to, like, be in something long-term. So maybe that's, like, not the person for me, but I'm having fun right now.
Yeah.
And I might need more time to suss it out. So I think because of that, like, not that, like, 28's, like, so much younger. But to be honest, like, sometimes I'll, like, try to go for, like, older dudes because I'm like, all right, we might be
but the older dudes are a hot mess, too. Listen, I've dated guys from, like, 10-year age gap, like, 38 and 28, and they're all, like, equally immature and non-committal and fucked up.
True.
But I agree that you probably have someone older. Although, what would you do, how would you answer yourself in this?
That's a good question. Because I know you could tell the person, obviously, if you've felt this way, you're like, I need help. You could tell this guy knows the answer. He's like, if you like her, stick with it, see what's going on. But I think, you're 28-year-old guy, you're looking, you're like, dang, maybe I want something a little serious.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe have that question with that person. And I mean, maybe not. Sometimes having that question kind of can destroy the relationship. Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean? Like,
just being like, yo, what are we?
But
it's like, no!
Because it seems like he like has expressed his interest and she's like, I'm fine with this.
Yeah. Right.
Which is like, then I think my advice would be don't keep doing something that makes you feel like, especially if you're like, I want something more and you're kind of just like with someone who doesn't, you're breaking your own heart eventually.
Yeah.
So
might as well do it now.
Exactly. And it's like, if she likes things the way they are, like, is it because you guys aren't exclusive?
Right.
Like, figure out all of that.
Is it all on her terms? And are you, if you're at the end of the day, man, woman, whoever, non-binary, all the things, if you are just not getting your needs met from this person, that's going to continue to hurt you, even though you're enjoying their company, maybe enjoying the coupley things. But like, don't lie to yourself. Like, be honest with what you want and be brave enough to stick it out and wait it out for someone who will give you what you want or wants the same thing, really. So I personally, I would like, maybe like if you really want to give it like another like shot or like make it clear or like have that conversation and give it another like, but be prepared to walk away if you have conversation.
But it's, I mean, I don't know if this guy's going to walk. I mean, if you're doing all the things, like it, I feel like it's easier said than done to be like, all right, walk away. It's, I feel like it's harder. I don't know.
It's hard. It's the hardest thing to walk away and break your own heart, but it's better to do it now than wait it out. And then you get more invested, more emotionally invested in the person. And then it hurts even more down the line. So if you already see the writing on the wall and you know in your gut that it's not going to be a long-term thing and that's what you want, then it's like, you just
also, it's like if you're asking this question, it's like you want something more. And if she's okay with how things are, that's totally fine. But like, just specify what that means, because if she's not being exclusive and you are, like, that sucks.
Yeah,
also, they said a situationship. What's the situation? Like, are, I mean,
if you're doing all coupley stuff,
yeah.
And this is something that I love doing, is being like, yeah, like we could do like kind of coupley stuff, but then I'm like, get like terrified of like commitment. Mm. But I've always like repeatedly been like, I really don't want anything serious if I don't want something serious with that person.
Yeah.
And then, like, eventually they get it. Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough.
Have you been on either end? Like,
oh, I've been on both
ends. Yeah, we've all been on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like in this, like, weird couple of four, however long we've been in this kind of situation, I've been on this end of being like, man, I like this person, but I don't know if they want to be aware. And I've been on that other end of just being like, wearing a thing, but, like, I'm not really about it. But I think I'm really good at just being like, all right, deuces. I'll see you later.
Yeah, I feel like every time I talk to you, you've been like pretty like honest and open about like with women. Like we're like, oh, you're still dating this person? Like, no, they wanted this. I wanted that. Like you've been pretty upfront about what you want. And I think that's the only thing that you can do.
Yeah.
That's the only fair thing to do.
I think talking about your feelings is one of the, I mean, it sounds lame, but talking about your feelings
kidding. Ah. It's the best.
I think
it hurts, but
it does. But like, again, like the more you do it, just the better things are for you because you're getting closer to like what you actually might want in someone. And I just believe that there's like multiple people for everyone. And like maybe might
a little polyamory?
No, like people are always like,
into that.
Yeah, that too. But I was also gonna say like people are always like, this is my soulmate. I'm like, I think you could have multiple soulmates and it doesn't have to be always romantic.
Ooh,
I think sometimes like people are in your life to teach you something, and this might be a situation where you're like, okay, like I actually didn't realize I wanted something serious and these are the qualities that I want because of this person who's like exhibited them. And now like, even though she might not want it, I can like add that to my list and keep moving forward and like protect myself.
Yeah. And it's, I think at the end of the day, if you're listening to this caller or texter, just protect.
Emailer.
You just want to protect your own self. Like at the end of the day, like how do you want to feel in like a couple of months or years? And do you want to exert all this energy for someone that you know that might not have this, you guys don't have the same life goals or the same vision. And that issue's hard, man. So good luck with that. I'm glad it's not me, but good luck.
Let us know what happens.
And again, guys, email more questions in. I like answering everyone's questions.
Yeah. noflylistpod@gmail.com.
Yeah. And you can also
DM us.
Yeah. And we will never say your name and I'll never do a follow up.
Yeah, we won't embarrass you.
Yeah,
but
I'm kidding.
I think these questions like help everybody because we've all been through it on, you know, at some point or the other, but it's harder to see it when you're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
It's true. But I think it's good to have, you know, people are, oh yeah, you know, the therapist is great, but I think also having like, you know, good friends that you can like talk to about these kind of certain things and being like, hey, what's going on with this? I think it also helps.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that weird zone.
Yeah. Just be honest with yourself. If it's not working for you, it's better to cut your losses, learn from the experience, like lick your wounds. You'll be better for it and then
you
move
on.
Yeah.
It's so funny because like I remember like the very first like intense heartbreak I had and it was like, it feels like a death.
It does.
Yeah. And then like people were always like, yeah, it gets better. And then you realize that in life you just have multiple one of those.
Oh.
And each time.
What was your first one?
I was like, it was like this guy that I thought we were going to get like married. And I was like 20, like it was like a very serious relationship. And I was like 26.
Oh, you're talking about 20. Oh,
Well, like, no, I'm counting. Like, I obviously did when I was like in college and I was younger, but like, this was like the first person where I was like, okay, like, I think this is it.
Yeah.
And like, it was like one of those where it was just like so devastating. And then the fun thing that people don't tell you is like, yeah, it absolutely gets better. You keep meeting better and better people. But yeah, you get your heart broken over and over.
In different ways.
But you also get stronger.
Exactly. And you that's like the biggest thing where like...
And know how to deal with it the next time. And so and like you waste less and less time.
You do. And that voice in your head that's like what everyone else was like, it gets better. You kind of are like, I know this sucks right now, but it will get better. And it just... It's a really good lesson. I really, I do hate that we all have to go through it, but also I'm so glad I didn't get married at 26.
Yeah. Oh my God. I think my favorite Zen quote when it comes to this stuff is let go or be dragged.
Ooh, whoa.
Let go or be dragged. Damn. Wow. That's a mic drop right there.
It really is. It
applies to a lot of things in life, but yeah, especially relationships. Because when you look at it as those options, it's like, oh, the alternate is I'm getting hurt.
Yeah.
Like, we forget that part. It's like, just let go. But, like, the second part is, like, actually not letting go. You're just hurting yourself further and further. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I think we fixed that person's life.
We did.
I hope so.
I think we did.
Thank you guys for, I mean, it was really tough writing that email, but...
I love, you could have sent it. You were like, I didn't know it was going to be this episode. Yeah. I was going to have to answer
when
my
I
own.
Saw, when I saw the question, I told Athira, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, like, you're like, this is a good one for Andrew.
And I was like, did he write this? But
like, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you're in a position where I feel like most men I talk to are not, in which like you're looking for something a little bit more serious and or like you're not just looking to like hook up and like fuck around, or maybe you are, depending on when I talk to you.
I think I am. Yeah, it is like you want to find something serious, but I realize also it could be a detriment just going into something. Be like, yo, I'm trying to find something.
Oh yeah,
serious.
You just have to.
I like, want to wife you up.
I think when people come with, it's like I know you're looking for something serious, but it's like you know, like.
Be open. Also. Yeah. You don't want to come off as like, I want to marry you today. But like, at
there's
least
like some
know
dudes on, there's some dudes on like dating apps that are like, I'm not here for bullshit. And I'm like, well, this sounds like bullshit.
Yeah. You gotta, I think you have to find, I mean, you just have to find a good balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between like, yeah, this is fun. And then like, okay, think about this. Cause sometimes you can just be super like, yo, I'm trying to find something serious. Or I've been on the other spectrum where I'm just like, huh.
Yeah.
I'm okay. So you want to do it? No, I'm okay. This is fine where we are.
Are you planning to have your hot girl summer?
Nah, I'm gonna have a calm girl summer. I'm off the apps. I'm off all that nonsense.
I don't even
use
them.
Let's just chill in the park, you guys, and just hang out. Like
just get hit on at bars.
That's
bring it back to the
well, that's what I always did. And now it's like, oh, it's back. But I've also just been like, I've had like a lot of guys like in my DMs being like, oh yeah, like I'd love to come to a show, or like I found you on Bumble or whatever.
That's
and
how
like,
you get them on.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Show up to our shows with flowers.
Do that. Someone did show up with like weed and I was like, all right.
Yeah, weed.
Those
and
are
by
my
flowers.
That's my favorite thing.
I was like, wow, is that my soulmate?
He's 5'11". You're like, oh no.
No, I'll take 5'11". I'll take 5'11" with presents. I'll take above 6 foot without presents. The bar is low.
Girls are so shallow.
Yeah, no.
Shallow.
First of all, I will date no one right now, but
I love that.
Yeah. But there's been a lot of people like really persistent and I've had to be like, please go away.
How do you feel about the persistence? What is like persistent
down.
In
I don't
a sense
like
of
it.
Like, oh, this
and
is...
what is stalkery?
Here's like, cause like there's some people who are really persistent with like, oh, well we should still hang out. But I think it's like it's like my fault where I'm like, well, I'm just busy instead of being like, I just don't want to date right now. But sometimes I say I don't want to date right now and they're like, that's cool. And then they'll message me about basketball or like comedy. And I'm like, you're not getting the point. I don't also want to be your friend right now. Mm. And I've had guys like recently be like, oh, like, do you like, I like put up a story about how I like hurt my like back and like a bunch of guys were like, oh, I could get you like whatever you need or whatever. And I was like, I don't even fucking know you, go away.
I feel like...
it's like, I'm depressed because my back hurts.
Well,
it's being
actually,
annoying.
There's a really good... I just watched Good on Paper with Eliza Schlesinger.
Oh, yeah.
I can never say her last name.
That's good.
Yeah, that was a good try. Yeah. It's great about... it's a good movie. You should watch it. But it kind of reminded me of like my relationships where I've ended up in relationships with people because they were persistent and wore me down. And then I'm like, I should have never given in. And so sometimes your initial feeling about something is right. And then sometimes you just have to be open and get to know the person and just be, and maybe you're not going to have that immediate like hot chemistry, like right away. And that chemistry like wears off, that like lusty kind of energy. Like,
absolutely.
You don't really need that either. But I honestly feel like when people say don't want to be in a relationship right now or this, it also depends on who's approaching you, because people like, I've heard so many success stories of people like, yeah, I just wasn't looking for anything. Then I saw them and it's like, we got married 3 months later.
Yeah. And you got to think about the person who was like trying to talk to that person for months and they were like, nah, I don't want anything serious.
Well, like there's like, but I do agree with that, because there is like a lot, like an energy where I'm like, I really don't want to be with this person. And they just like wear you down. You're like, I guess they're really nice.
Yeah, like he's 5'7".
Yeah. He's nice. But it's like, I actually just want to be with someone that I like want to be with.
And hopefully we'll all get what we're looking for in good time.
Yes.
So Andrew, we have one last segment. It's called Keeping Up with the Caucasians.
Yes, I love it. I'm excited. I'm prepared.
So this segment where we talk about things that white people do and whether we as people of color also do these things. Mm-hmm. So here are the categories. You get to choose one of these categories and they'll throw something at you. So we've got food/beverage, pop culture, activities, music, style or clothes, phrases or sayings, and miscellaneous.
I'm going to go with that miscellaneous.
Ooh.
All right. How do you feel about people throwing birthday parties for dogs? Have you been to a dog birthday party?
I've never been to a dog birthday party and I wouldn't go.
No.
I mean, unless there was like, they were serving champagne and drinks. Yeah, if it was like a fancy dog, then I would go. But if it's like,
a poodle.
If it's a poodle or if my friends had the money and they were like, yo, we're throwing this dope ass dog party, I'll go.
It could
for
be
the
a
story.
Rescue if there's champagne. Like, yeah. They could be a rich couple that adopted her.
True.
Ain't no rescue dog in a birthday party.
You never know.
What? Oh, it's like a shih tzu or what are they called? I don't know anything about dogs.
Can you? I feel like shih tzus and poodles. Shih tzus? They're not. Shih tzus? Yeah, they shih tzus.
Shih tzus.
They don't rescue shih tzus.
No, I'm saying it's all the, the breeder dogs that they'll throw parties for.
Yeah.
They won't throw for a poor adopted.
They're not showing up for
a rescue
pit bull.
No.
He's got three legs. Oh.
Yeah, let's throw a party for this
guy. Let's make cupcakes. There are places that make dog cupcakes and dog.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I've never been friends with someone white enough to do that.
I have. I didn't go. I mean, it was like,
they invited you to a dog party. And you didn't go.
I didn't really get an invite because. It was a coworker who was like, "I'm throwing a party for my dog," but I wasn't like, "Oh, let me come." Or I was like, please don't invite me."
She was like, "I'm going. I'm having this wonderful party for my dog," and you were like, "Oh,
no, yeah,
can I go?
Can I come?
I don't know.
I don't have any pets.
I hate animals, but hey,
it's like when you get I actually particularly love her dog. It's like one of the few dogs I do like. But I would not throw a birthday party.
No,
I don't have any pets. But if I did, I would definitely not be throwing a birthday party for my. I wouldn't even like my kid the first 5 years they're not going to remember. So why would I even?
You guys wouldn't have a party for your kid?
I would.
I mean, I would.
Obviously.
But
I'm like, damn.
I would just be like later in
but
life.
But I'm
be
just
like, what
saying.
The fuck
they're not going to remember much.
Remember. Yeah.
Yeah, but the parties are all for the adults.
Yeah,
or
I
the
guess.
Humans in the dog cage.
Honestly, I would go to a dog if they did. If one of my friends did, because I've been. I don't know if y'all ever been to the dog park.
Yeah,
my friend brought me.
They're fun. Yeah, there's a dog bar that I used to go to, and it's fun.
I've never been.
It's in Williamsburg.
These dogs do.
They're just like running around. I went because my friend had a dog, and she was like, "This is just a fun place," and also like a lot of
single people with dogs.
And the dog comes up to you and they're like, oh, he just really likes your vibe.
I've thought about walking up to a guy with no dog and being like, I saw this cute guy with a dog. And then I was like, damn, I wish I had a dog that would like sniff this dog's ass so we'd have like conversation. And I was like, I guess I could just walk up to him. And then in the meantime, having this inner monologue, he walked away. But I was like, it'd be easy. You could
just walk
up to someone.
You really
like,
can. I've done it too. That's why they fucking love that.
But
shit.
I don't
like,
really
oh, yeah.
like dogs that much. I don't want to come off as a dog person and be fake and be like, I love your dog. But I'm definitely like, I'll walk up to I don't know if they're single, but men with babies. Like, your baby's so cute, but I love
see,
babies.
See, that's like, that's if weird. I see a guy with a baby, I'm like, absolutely not. Do not ruin my life. Do not bring this child into my life. Dog, I'm like, yeah, that's cute.
I'm like, I'm like, are you single? Does your baby need a stepmom? Because I don't want to birth a baby, but like, that's
no,
great...
I don't want to, yeah, I absolutely don't want to birth a baby or take care of one, but a dog, I'll...
Maybe I'd rather take care of a baby than a dog. I know that's really weird. People, I feel like I know how to take care of a baby. I have no idea how to take care of a dog.
I just like don't want it around me. But a dog is like fun.
Dogs are fun.
Because they love you.
Kids and dogs, they're both fun.
I've come across as the worst person every time I record. Yeah, I'm like, above 6 foot, bring me presents. No children.
No children, dog.
I feel like we're all very dateable right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going through like one, like I'm like just like depressed. I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll date. Well, Andrew, you're such a like fantastic guest. Oh, you're one of my favorite people in the entire world.
I'm sorry I was so late for looking for parking.
You're good. You're good. We're only like, we're good on time. We're like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're good. Anything that you want to like plug or tell our listeners where to follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me at Hood Chef Drew. I'm just putting more episodes of this web series.
What's your web series called?
Oh, it is called, I don't even remember the name. That's a good question.
It is a good web series. Hire me to act in it because I need more reels.
You need more credits? I think the name is, wow, I really don't remember the name of this thing.
Well,
how complicated is this web series?
It's not that complicated.
It's a really good one. And I
Google Andrew McGill.
Google Andrew McGill. Sift through all the white faces.
Yeah.
I'm there. You'll see me.
Follow us at No Fly List Pod. Follow me at Athir Yacoub.
Follow me at Amama Sardar. And thank you so much for listening.
And thanks to Canal Street Market for having us.
Bye, guys. Woo!